Hi, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung. I'm here in Jacksonville, Florida. Normally, I say at Broadcast Central in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But we're here for the Way Radio Rally. Boy, what a time we're going to have. Been here a couple of days getting set up and ready for the rally. Looking forward to all of our listeners, if you can, coming and joining us tonight. It will be at the First Coast Baptist Church from 6 until 8 o'clock. And I promise we'll close it out at 8 o'clock so you can go home, get your rest before getting up and going to church tomorrow. That's the Way Radio Rally, First Coast Baptist Church, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. Great to be here. Great to be with the guys at the radio station. Fun time with Jim and Luke, and always honored to come and join with the promotion of a ministry that's preaching, teaching the gospel to this location of the world. And so thankful for all of you listeners who have been faithful over the years. Hope to see you tonight. Well, we're going to go now to our broadcast partners. We've got them standing by. Have you ever said, is the Pope Catholic? You know, in response to a question that is so obvious, you say, well, is the Pope Catholic, or does a bird fly? Well, we're going to answer that question. It's going to be serious when I bring Mike Gendron to this broadcast table to answer the question, is the Pope Catholic? And we're going to have Winky Madad help us understand sorrow and then happiness. This last week, the Holocaust Remembrance Day in Israel. And then a week from that day, next week, is going to be Independence Day, the birthday for the Jewish State of Israel, number 73. Most tangible evidence that Bible prophecy is indeed being fulfilled. We're going to now go to a man who is a part of the Jacksonville community. When he's not on the road traveling all over the world, in this opportunity that he has as a journalist, as an author, and just a great broadcast partner with us, Ken Timmerman does live in the Jacksonville area. He's hoping to be able to be at the rally tonight. I would love to introduce Ken to you. But right now I've got to get to business with Ken. Ken, talk to me about what's happening there in the Ukraine, Russia, massing troops, and even armor. They're at the Ukrainian border. Does that mean war, or what's going on?
Well, this is very serious, Jimmy. A very serious buildup of Russian military materiel, Russian ground units, ground forces on the border. The Ukrainians also have been building up their army since the 2014 war, which they pretty much lost in 2015. Look, this is a big escalation, and fanning the flames has been President Biden and his defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, who seem to be vying with each other to urge the Ukrainians on. What people fear, what most military analysts fear now, is some kind of provocation, either a phony provocation by the Russians that would look like a Ukrainian attack that would then justify them to go into Ukrainian territory from eastern Ukraine, or an actual Ukrainian attack against the Russians. This is a very hot, hot situation. Our U.S. troops in Europe, in European command, are at their top level of alert, which means they are awaiting imminent conflict. So this is a very, very serious situation. And I'm very concerned about the way that the president in the United States is dealing with this. He is not a strong person. He has shown all along an aversion for Putin and for the Russians. He's openly taking sides with Ukraine. And our Secretary of Defense this past week pledged the Ukrainian defense minister that the United States would support them if they were attacked with everything that we've got. Now, wait a second. I didn't realize that Ukraine had joined NATO and that this was a NATO ally being attacked. Well, guess what? They haven't joined NATO, and it's not a NATO ally, and it's outrageous for our Secretary of Defense to pledge that we will do everything we can to support them if they get into a conflict with Russia over disputed territory, I would add, in the Crimea and eastern Ukraine. So this is very serious.
And Ukraine is not only not a member of NATO, but nor are they a member of the European Union. However, the European Union, a little bit concerned, Angela Merkel, who's Chancellor of Germany, making the statement and demanding, actually, that Vladimir Putin reduce the Russian troop numbers there around the Ukraine. Do you think Putin is going to listen to Merkel? What do you think is going to happen there?
I don't. And Merkel has nothing to back up her. It's not a threat, it's a demand. She has nothing to back that up with. The Germans have so reduced their military that they could not block a platoon of troops walking across the Polda Gap, let alone, you know, a massive tank assault as they were prepared to do during the Cold War. Look, you know, the thing here, people talk about accidental war, about provoking war, or one side makes a mistake and the other side takes advantage of it, and then all of a sudden, lo and behold, without knowing it, you wind up in war. I don't think that's true. I think that really is a canard. I agree with those analysts who say that accidental war is really a misinterpretation of history. Countries don't go to war because of an accident. They use those accidents or military incidents as a reason to fight the wars that they want to fight.
And at the same time, Moscow warning, making a pledge to retaliate against the United States and the United Kingdom because of their plans to put rockets along the Russian border. That can only escalate what's happening, can it not?
Well, I think these two are different. They are on separate spheres. What we're talking about here with the missile deployment is an arms control violation. It's not yet an aggressive action, although the Russians are trying to make believe that it's an aggressive action. They're talking about the U.S. and the Brits deploying missile defense systems as we tried to do during the Bush administration and Obama took away in 2009. The Russians have a new long-range cruise missile, which is in violation of the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Agreement, the INF agreement that President Trump, he pulled out of the agreement in 2019 because the Russians were deploying this long-range nuclear-capable cruise missile in Western Russia, in the European part of Russia. But this is separate from the tension in the Ukraine. This is an arms control violation, if you wish. It's a technical violation. It is a diplomatic discussion, whereas in the Ukraine, we're talking about an imminent hot war.
Meanwhile, at the same time, the Iranian nuclear talks underway, albeit whatever is going on there. And I'm wondering, Ken, can you talk to me about what are the goals of Rouhani, president of Iran, example, President Biden, and Prime Minister Netanyahu, or how you compare what everybody's goals are in these Iranian talks that have just been revived?
Well, Rouhani was a big supporter of the nuclear deal in 2015, and he really staked his entire presidency on it. He said this deal is going to cure all of our economic woes in Iran. They got $150 billion windfall, money that was released by the Obama administration. And guess what? The money didn't cure anything because a great portion of it went to support proxy wars in Yemen, in Lebanon, in Syria, in Iraq. And the rest of it went into the pockets of corrupt IRGC, Islamic Revolutionary Guards officials, and corrupt politicians in Iran. Very, very little went to the people. So Rouhani is trying to save his reputation. He is going out. He is term limited, so his term ends in June. We will not have a new Iran deal by June, in my opinion, unless the United States caves on everything. At this point, President Biden has made clear he is ready to cave on just about everything the Iranians are demanding. The State Department announced this past week that they're willing to repeal all sanctions that were imposed by President Trump that were not already included in the 2015 nuclear deal. And that's what the Iranians are demanding. They're demanding the lifting of all of those sanctions, and they're demanding the freeing up of $30 billion frozen overseas, which the U.S. has also said they would do. So Biden wants to make a deal with Iran. Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, on the other hand, understands that the Iran deal was a pathway to Iranian nuclear weapons. And so he has done everything he could do in the past, and I think he will continue to do so today and in the future, to prevent a deal from being sealed between Iran and the Western powers and the United States, and to undermine it, if he can, with information and perhaps cyber warfare. I think the Israelis are focusing on exposing Iran's misdeeds, on exposing their violations of the terms of the nuclear agreements that they signed, and when they have to, carrying out cyber attacks and possibly assassinations inside Iran, which they have also done.
There's a report coming out of China, Kim, that I want you to respond to. There are witnesses that China actually imprisoning Christians in underground brainwashing locations, torture centers. What do we know about that?
It's a pretty extraordinary report, Jimmy, which I really thank you for bringing to my attention from Radio Free Asia this past week. And they have eyewitnesses who have gone on the radio talking about being imprisoned for months, close to a year, in what they called a mobile torture facility run by the United Front Work Department, which is the kind of enforcement arm of the Chinese Communist Party. And they were in these facilities, the plainclothesmen would beat them. They would try to brainwash them to reject Christianity, to repudiate Jesus, to accept the Communist Party as their savior. They were not fed properly. They had no exercise. They were not allowed to sleep fully. And many of them, you know, were hurting themselves, trying to kill themselves in jail. You know, Christianity is legal in China. What that means is they have a legal Catholic Church and a legal Protestant Church called the Three Self Patriotic Church. Now, the three selves, I guess, are the three Chinese leaders that they want to have up on the walls of the church instead of the Holy Trinity. These official churches are not Christian. They pretend to be Christian, but even the believers who go to these pretend churches are being persecuted when they accept Jesus, and they're being forced to take down the crosses from inside their own homes and put up pictures of Chinese communist leaders. This is a story, Jimmy, that really people ought to talk about a lot more. The Chinese human rights record, their repression of religious minorities, their repression of Christians, ought to lead the United States and Western powers to boycott the 2022 Olympics in China. You know, I find it just so outrageous to see companies like American Express and Delta and others boycotting the state of Georgia for passing an election law that actually is more liberal than the one in Joe Biden's home state of Delaware. They're going to boycott the state of Georgia, and yet those same companies are going to take part in the Chinese Communist Olympics in 2022. Something's not right in this picture with American corporations. They're neither patriotic nor American.
And dear friends, this is the reason we bring Ken Timmerman to this broadcast table with information like he gives us, and of course his analysis, top drawer information. We so appreciate Ken. Ken, hope to see you at the rally tonight. If not, we'll see you on the radio next week.
With great pleasure, Jimmy. I'm looking forward to being there. God bless.
We're going to take a quick break when we come back. David Dolan standing by. He's got his Middle East news update for us. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.